Okay, Sean, Rabosa, today's daf is Yuma, daf Samach Zayin. We're here at the Mishnah on Samach Vav Amud Beis. Again, talking more about the Sfir Mishtaleach, the goat being sent out to take a long walk off a short cliff. And the Mishnah says like this, that Miyakar Yishalayim Hayim Balav Anoso Ad Sukkah HaRishona. The Miyakar Yishalayim is like the distinguished people of Yishalayim used to accompany or escort the goat and the guy taking it out, right, until, right out of Yerushalayim, until the first sukkah. What does that mean? That doesn't mean until sukkahs. That means, if you look at Rashi, last line, sukkos asu lo baderech. They used to have, as we'll see in a second, they used to have different huts, different sukkahs set up for the journey from Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, to the cliff was approximately 7 miles, as we'll see in a second, so it was a bit of a walk, and definitely on a hot day, it was not so posh. So they set up different huts for this guy, and as we'll see in a second, right, people would be stationed by each of these huts, and they would accompany the guy and the goat, right, passing it along from one guy to the next, right, as the guy made the journey. So either way, so the distinguished people would walk him out from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah. And it says the Mishnah: Eser sukkos Yerushalayim v'ad suk. There were 10 sukkahs from Yerushalayim until this took the cliff, as we'll see. There's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara, but this shita, Rabbi Meir holds that there were 10 sukkahs. The distance was tishim ris, which ris is a measurement, and shiva umechza lechol meal. And in each meal, there was 7.5 ris. So a little quick math: 90 divided by 7.5, so you get 12 meal. There was 12 meal from Yerushalayim to the cliff. Each mil is about 0.6 miles, so yeah, about 7 mile journey that this guy would have to walk, right, to chuck the goat off the cliff. And people nowadays have done that calculations, right, and tried to figure out exactly where it was, right, the general direction where he left the Beis HaMikdash, right, and you can do the math, right, if you can get there, right. It's always interesting to see how that plays out nowadays. Okay, either way, al kol sukkah v'sukkah omrim lo, at every stop, at every sukkah that the guy would reach, omrim lo hare mazon hare mayim, they would say, hey, there's some food here, there's some water here, right, and obviously not to taunt him, right, he's fasting. But, as the Gemara will say, right, it'll make him feel better. It was a psychological game. Right? We'll see that Gemara in a second. But Rashi just, quote, the Gemara just says, because a person who has food available to him, right, he's able to keep on going a little bit longer, right, that's, so it's a little bit psychological. Rambam writes that if he really needed the food and water, he could take it. But Tachlis says it was really just to kind of keep him going. Right? And they would accompany him from sukkah to sukkah, except for the last one. Because from the last sukkah to the cliff, right, the people would not go all the way up to the cliff. Rather, they would stand at a distance and watch. We'll see the machlokas exactly whether that's true or not. What would the guy do? So he would take the red string and cut it in half. Chetziu kosher l'sela, chetziu kosher ben shnei karnav. He would tie half of it to the rock, half of it to the goat. Udachvo la'achrav, and he'd push the goat backwards. V'umis galgal v'yored, and the goat obviously falls down the cliff. Lo haya magila chetzi harat shenasei varim yivarim, and he wouldn't even get halfway down the mountain before his limbs were before the goat was torn apart limb by limb. And obviously it doesn't mean the goat, but it means the guy who kicked the goat off the cliff. So he would go back to the last sukkah until dark, where you don't want to make him stay in the middle of the desert by himself. When would his clothes become tamei? Because the pasuk says the guy who takes the goat out to Sir Lazazel, his begadim become tamei. So the machlokas, the Mishnah says, Tanakama says, Mishayatzu chutz lechomas Yerushalayim, from when he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon omer mishaz dichias alatzuk, from the time when he kicked the goat off the cliff. We'll see later in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi is a third shita from when he gets to the cliff, but even before he kicks the goat off. Okay, Tana Rabbanan with under Nebraisa. Right, again, with our Mishnah had quoted that there were 10 sukkahs, 12 meal. Right, one sukkah every meal, right? So that one sukkah, one meal outside of Yerushalayim, and so forth and so on, until after the last sukkah from the end was 2 meal, right? There was 12 meal, 10 sukkahs, right? There was 2 meal at the end. So it's not turned around by one of the rabbis. So Ezra sukkahs are shnei mesar milin hayu divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. And that, again, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, that because it was Rabbi Meir Shita, that the guy could not make it, the last guy in the last sukkah was not allowed to accompany the goat to the cliff. Now, why couldn't he walk him to the cliff? So basically, as Rashi explains, that this is all based on Tchum Shabbos, that basically 2,000 amos is the amount which a person is allowed to travel inside a Tchum. So a meal is 2,000 amos. So if each sukkah was 2,000 amos apart, so basically, right, that person had 2,000 amos in one direction, right, to accompany this person and the goat. So therefore, right, you start your shalayim, go to the first sukkah. First sukkah, you have a guy waiting there. He's got 2,000 amos to the, let's see, it would probably be to the east. To the east, okay, whatever direction it was going in, I'm not sure exactly right now, but I don't remember. Meaning he definitely left the Beis HaMikdash right from the eastern side, but okay, fine, either way, right there. Meaning he would have 2,000 amos to the next sukkah, 2,000 amos to the next sukkah, right, and that's how they would go. The last guy, right, only has 2,000 amos, but it was 2 mil to the cliff, so that guy walked within 2,000 amos, and then he had to watch. Right, from where he was. Right, why didn't he make another hut over there? So that's really the reason the Achronim discussed. But okay, that's Rabbi Meir Shita, that they would have 12 mil and 10 sukkahs. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says a little bit shorter. Teisha sukkahs was Sarah mil, and it was actually 10 mil, and they were there. There were 9 sukkahs set up, so that, as you can imagine, right, that's one sukkah set up outside, 1 mil outside Yerushalayim, and then the guy in the ninth sukkah, right, could go up until the cliff, right? It says Rabbi Yehuda, he could actually accompany the guy to the cliff, because that would be within his tchum. Rabbi Yossi says, Chamish sukkahs v'asara milim, that there were 5 sukkahs and 10 mil, v'kulan alidei eruv, and how did they work that out? Because isn't, right, you have to deal with tchum, right, how do you work that out if there's 5 sukkahs, right, and therefore every 2 mil there is a sukkah, so kulan alidei eruv, right, you can make an eruv tchumim, right, if you remember back in Pesachos Eruvin, right, towards the second half of the Pesach, they talked about the eruv tchumim, a person can make an Erev Tchum and be Konish Visa, or he can put some food, let's say 2,000 amos from his original position, so then he gets then really that's where he's Konish Visa. So the guy was in a sukkah, right, he put his Eruv 2,000 amos, right, 1 mil away from his sukkah, let's say towards the other sukkah, right, so that way, right, really he's set up in the middle of both sukkahs, so there's 1 mil, right, in either direction, which 2 mil in between each sukkah, right? If the guy is set up smack in the middle, so then he's able to travel the entire distance. So Rabbi Yossi said, "Sachli Elazar Bini, my son said to me after I said that this is based on Erevin, well, im alidei Eruv, if we're using Erev Tchumim, yucholani lasos afilu shtei sukkahs v'asara milin. I could work out the math," says Rabbi Elazar. Again, he was just tongue-in-cheek, but if you're talking about using Erevin, right, so then you could just have 2 sukkahs within the 10 mil. Because if you're passing the goat and the guy from one person to the next, right, so you could have 2 different people, right, you could have them meet midway, right, you have people from Yerushalayim go 2 mil, right, because his Eruv is set up in the middle. Then the guys in the next sukkah, right, can set up their Eruv also, so that he could walk 2 mil in that direction. Right, then you have another guy waiting for him in that sukkah, goes another 2 mil, right? So you have a sukkah 4 mil away, another sukkah 4 mil away, and then you have 2 more mil to get to the, what's it called, to the cliff, and then you're good. If you're using Erevin to extend the direction in which people can walk in. But okay, either way, Lamaichas Atakas, he wasn't arguing, he was just tongue in cheek if that's what we were using. Fine, and now just Gemara clarifies, come on, Azla Hadatanya, whose Shita is this, right? And again, the Shita we quoted in the Mishnah. Right, whose shita is that the last guy, the last hut was not allowed to go up to the cliff, rather he had to watch from a distance, like we said in the Mishnah, that's come on, Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir, as we pointed out, because he did not allow the last guy to go, right, the 2 mil to the cliff, even though you could only go 1 mil. Okay. Why do they do this, right? Not to taunt him, but rather, Tana me'olam lo hutzra chadam lakach, really, no one ever needed food and drink. Right? You can't compare someone who has food available to him to someone who knows that there is no food. Right? Again, you imagine you're walking 7 miles, or you know, even 5 miles, according to, let's say, 5 or 6 miles, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Excuse me. But either way, you got a nice long walk. It's hot. You're fasting. If you have no possibility of food and drink, right, it makes a person less gives a person less strength. I remember personally, I've run two marathons in my life, one in Yerushalayim and one in New York. And in New York, there is a water station every mile. In Yerushalayim, the water stations are every 3 miles. So when you hit that water station and you know there's another one coming up next, in New York at least, right, there's another one in a mile. Okay, so you pass, you miss one, it's fine, whatever. Right? But in Yerushalayim, when you know you don't have water for another 3 miles, so you grab that, you make sure to hit that water station and keep on going. Right? So again, if you know you're going to have water, so that makes a person, give the person a little bit more confidence, a little bit more strength. So they used to have it available to him, right? But tachlis, they never needed it. Okay. Ma'haya osa cholik lashon zahoris. Again, the Mishnah had said that he would split the woolen strip, the red woolen strip in two, right? Tie one side around the goat and tie one side around the rock. So the Gemara says, "V'niktri kuli b'sela." Why didn't he tie the entire thing on the rock? Right. Like again, as we'll see in a second, right? As you probably are familiar with, but the red strip, the red string would turn white. So everybody could see that Hashem had forgiven Am Yisrael. So what do you need half of it on the goat for? So Gemara says, "Came the mitzvah b'sayer." No, since the mitzvah is to kick the goat off the cliff, so dilma kadim u'malabinu miyatu daite. Maybe sometimes, again, apparently we see from the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? Sometimes it would turn white and you hadn't kicked the goat off yet. So then the guy would just like, won't bother, like won't deal with it, like won't have to do it. So as we said, again, I had always assumed that at least growing up, right, you would, that, you know, it was a cause and result. You kicked the goat off the cliff, thing turned white. So tachlis, you see here, it's not necessarily true that the Kosh Baruch Hu could have, told Am Yisrael that he forgives them before all the avodah was completed. It's okay, but so we didn't want him to see the string turn white and be like, oh, okay, I'm done here. I don't need to do this. Really, the avodah is important, right? You have to actually do it. Okay, v'niktrei kuli bein. Okay, if that's true, then v'niktrei kuli bein karnav. Right, flip it the other way. So just tie the entire thing between the goat's horns. As Gemara says, zimnim de gamish le'dereshe v'lavadaita. Right, sometimes the goat will bend its head, i.e., right, tuck its head under its legs or whatever while it's falling. Right? It obviously doesn't have control of its head, right? Sometimes it'll just, the head will end up underneath. V'lavadaita, you won't be able to see, right, whether it turned white or not, right? It was important to see. Fine. Okay, so then you took some of it around the goat, and some of it to remember to push the goat off the cliff, and then some of it was tied around the rock. That's so you can see the result, right, in terms of what happened to the string. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan with another braisa. Barishona hayu kosher lashon shel zahoris al pesach ulam mibachutz. Back in the day, originally, they would tie this a strip of wool, right, red wool, around the ulam on the outside. Right, and what would happen? Halvin hayu smeichim, lo halvin hayu atzuvim. And then Am Yisrael would see, right, that when it turned white, obviously they got happy. Right, when people were saw it didn't turn white, so they would get very upset. Right, tachlis, that was an issue. We don't want Am Yisrael being sad on the yontif, even though in Echanami it's Yom Kippur. But this is an Indian to be right happy and put your faith in a Gosh Baruch Hu that we'll get atonement. Okay, so they weren't so happy with that. So therefore, Hitkinu Shayu Kosher and Al Pesach Ulam Mibifnim. So they just kind of put it on the other side of the door, right? They just flipped it around so not everybody would see. But V'adayin Ha'im Atzitzim V'roin, right? And people still used to peek, right? And V'roin and they would see. So Halbein, again, and the same result, right? Halbein Hayu Smechen, Lo Halbein Hayu Atzuvim, right? If it turned white, great. If it didn't turn white, so everybody was upset. And then finally they got to the point where, forget it, we're not tying it in the base of Mikdash, they're going to tie it half around the goat and half around the rock. He says that Barishona originally, again, they used to tie it on the inside, right, this red string on the inside of the base of Mikdash, the midbar, and whenever the seir would get to the midbar, to the cliff, so hayo malaben, right, it would turn white. The other shenasis mitzvah, so that's how they would know that the guy was successful in kicking the goat off the cliff and accomplishing, right, and finishing that avodah. Shnevar Zbazik says, "Miuchatayichem v'kashanim kashela galbinu." Right, if your sins will be kashanim, that doesn't mean for years. That means like tolas shani. That like if your sins will be like red, right, red string or like red. So then kashela galbinu, I will cleanse you. I will make you white like snow. Meaning that the Hashem will, right, again, that's the idea, that it turns from red to white. Okay, lo hayu magia lemachzi zahar, right, again, this goat would be torn limb from limb. So Gemara wants to know, what do you do with the limbs? That's the following question. Osa nevarim, right, those limbs of the goat, mahi banah, right, are you allowed to derive benefit from them? right? Obviously, you're not allowed to eat it, right? You have to, goat has to be shechted, right? But so the goat is not shechted, it's dead, it's not, you're not allowed to eat it. But what about hana? They mutter b'hana. So Rav Shmuel is machlokas. V'chad amar mutarin, v'chad amar asurin. Okay, one says mutter, one says asur. Man damar mutarin, dichtiv, because the pasuk says bamidbar. Right, the pasuk says you take it out, bamidbar. Which part of the right? V'nasa asir alav, it's kolav and osama ala eretz gizera, v'shilachas asair, bamidbar. So what does that mean? We'll explain in a second. Uman damar asurin, and the one who says it was asur, is the kidichsiv gizera. Now again, what's bamidbar? If you look at Rashi, hefker kamidbar, that it should be hefker like midbar, and then therefore it should be mutter, right? It's ownerless, right? But what's eretz gezera? Right? That means, right, that again, it's there's a gezera, there's some sort of lashon iser, right? Rashi writes lashon chomer ve'iser, there's some sort of chumra, there's some sort of iser, so therefore it must be aser ba'ana. So okay, so the Gemara says, wants to know now, right? Obviously, if you're darshaning out that same pasuk, right, one takes one word in the pasuk, one takes another word in the pasuk, well, what do you do with the other word, right? According to each shita, the corner of the one who says it's aser, hi midbar my avilei. What does he do with the word midbar? That seems to imply that it's mutter. So he uses it for the following halacha. Hamidbar, but midbar it says three times by the Gesil Azazel, the word midbar. So the rabbis to include Nova Givon, Shilo Beis Olamim, that no matter where the Mishkan is, no matter where the Beis HaMikdash is, and we still do this avoda, whether it's Nova Givon, whether it's in Shilo, or whether it's the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'idach, and the other one, Zai Gzera, my Avid Bey, again, the one who says that it's Mutter, what do you do with the pasuk of Gzera that seems to imply that it's Aser? Someone by the Kedetanya, he used it for the following halacha. Gzera, when the pasuk says Eretz Gzera, an abandoned land, in Gzera Elechatucha, that is the lashon of cut up, right, broken up, right? Again, it's a sharp, sharp language, right? And they're talking about the goat that's being cut up. Right, davar acher, another thing, in gzera ela davaram is gazer, viorit, right? Something that gets cut up and goes down. Davar acher, another thing we learn, what's gzera? Shema tomar, mesa tohu, what's the word gzera mean? Right, perhaps the most common understood meaning of the word gzera. What's a gzera? Right, so maybe you'll say, says the Gemara, Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, Maisa Tohu, this is ridiculous. What kind of empty avoda is this? Right, again, the Sir Lazazel seems like a very, very strange, almost pagan, Rachman, Tzlan, Chas Hashem, right, don't say that, but seems almost pagan in its avoda. Where do you find Judaism where you take a goat and throw it off the cliff? Some say Lazazel means for the Shadim, what's going on over here? You tell me, what is this avoda? Maybe you'll think it's out of here. It's crazy. So therefore, Tamid Lomar, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Gezartiv, V'en Lecha Rishos Lahar Bahem. Right, Hashem, I'm Hashem, I was gozer this, it's a gzera. Right, do not ask, you do not have permission to wonder, right, what's going on over here. So Amar Rava Rava says, Mistavri Kamad Amar Mutar. And it makes much more sense that the goat is Mutar Behana, because Lo Amra Torah Shalach L'Tekala. Right, because what's the Torah going to do? The Torah is not going to say, send this goat out, and that's going to be a takala, that's going to mess things up. What do you mean, mess things up? Because if you have a goat and bones and meat laying there, and people show up, you know, a couple of days later, they don't realize what it is, it's still usable for some things. Right? So we don't want, right, that, again, unless they made a big sign, right, this goat is, shouldn't touch it. Again, it could lead to an issue, right? If it was actually Asur Bahana and people encountered this goat, they didn't realize what it was, right? It could lead to people being benefiting from something that was Asur Bahana. It must be Mutar Bahana. It doesn't make sense that Hashem would say, you know, chuck this off a cliff, leave it there, and, you know, maybe people, and it's Asur Bahana, maybe people will come and take it. That doesn't make sense. Okay. Tan Rabbi Mulan de Rabbi. So, Azazel, what is this language of Azazel? Shehe Azvikasha, right? It has to be a difficult, tough, maybe harsh land. Yachobi Yishuv, you might have thought that you could be in a town, in some sort of civilization, some sort of settlement. Tamalom, where therefore the pasuk says, Bamidbar, has to be in the desert. Uminayin Shavit, so how do you know if it? You chuck it off a cliff. So Tamalom, or Gzera, right? Like, it has to be Gzera, again, like a cliff, like we said before, something that's cutting, something that's sharp. That's a cliff. Tanya Yidach, another Baisa. What does that mean? Azazel, Kasha Shebaharim, right? Lashon Az, right? Tough, difficult, right? The Kasha, the toughest of the mountains. V'cheinu Omer v'es Eli Haaretz Lakach. Okay. The Tanah of the Meir Rabbi Shmuel, the base measure of Rabbi Shmuel, taught Azazel Shemechaper al Maisa Uza v'Azael. It atones for the actions of Uza and Azael. Now, what in the world is that? So that perhaps is a medrash and talked about at the beginning. My Rashi already brings it over here at the beginning of the Torah, at the end of Parshas Bereishis. talks about that the what's it called? Rashi here calls them Malachi Chavala, but it says Pasuk says, oh yeah, Rashi quotes the Pasuk also. Vayiru Bnei HaElokim Espenos Adam Ki Tovos Hena, and the Bnei HaElokim, the sons of God, came down and saw that the women were good, and they came down and then they had children with them, etc. So there's a discussion in terms of what these Bnei Elokim were. One opinion in the Medrash is that they were Aza and Azael, which were angels, which basically criticized man right up in Shemaim. They said, Medrash delineates how they criticized man. They said, how could they be such terrible, wretched creatures? Right by that time, right, man was sinning greatly, right by around the times of the flood, but a little bit before, but around the times of the flood. And Hashem said, well, you wouldn't last 2 seconds down there if you had all the same titles that man had. And Azan Azael said, yeah, you know what? Challenge accepted. So Hashem sent them down, and sure enough, they sinned right away. And they had children, et cetera, with the girls, with the women in the world. So it's, and long story short, it's to be mechaper on arayos, that the Sila Zozel is mechaper on illicit relations. Now, obviously, we said earlier in the Masechta that Sila Zozel atones for every sin. So it could be that that was like even atones for arayos, right? Certainly, we read on Yom Kippur, right? The Kriyas HaTorah and Mincha is all about forbidden unions, about arayos. So again, definitely front and center in the Avodah Yom Kippur, right? Talking about these isurim betachlis, right? Pashup Shad is that it atoned for even these very serious averas. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, we'll learn the Rabbis. Es mishpatai tasu. You should do my mishpatim. What does that mean? So that's again, that's a pasuk. That's in what is that pasuk? That pasuk is at the end of Achreimos. Yeah, right before the Arayos in Achreimos, right after the Yom Kippur service, right before the Arayos, right? Pasuk says es mishpatai tasu v'schukusay teshmuel lelechus b'hem ani Hashem alokeichem. So what does it mean es mishpatai tasu? Do my mishpatim. So dvarim she'lomeli lo nechtevu din hu sheyichtevu. Right. These are things. These are halachos that even if they hadn't been written in the Torah, it would have been logical that you should still follow them. Right. What are the things that are logical? You could have figured out on your own. Right. The most basic right of religion. Eloheinu avodah zarah. Right. Avodas kochamim. You shouldn't do avodah zarah if you're from gidei arayos. Shvichas damim, right, murder, right, illicit relationships, gezel, theft, birkas Hashem, cursing God, right, all these things you could have logically derived on your own. Eskukos hatishmoru, what does it mean you should keep my chukim? So that, as we know, a chuk is something that's much more difficult to understand. Tvarim she'asotan meshiv aleihem, these are halachos that the satan has something to say back to you, meaning they make no sense, right? The satan can get you and be like, why are you doing this? This is so dumb, right? Where did you get this from? Halachos that are just chukim, that are gzeres hamelech. Right, ve'eluhin, these are them, right? Achilas chazir, levisha shatnez, right? Pig, shatnez, chalitzas yavama, right? Do this whole process, spitting in a shoe, yavama, what is that? Taras mitzorah, v'sayir mishalech, right? The Tara process of mitzorah, as we talked about a couple times in the Masechta, very long, convoluted process. How does that make him tor? Very strange. Sirim Shalayach also looks almost pagan, Chas Shalom. So, right, these are chukim that we don't understand, and the Satan has what to say. V'shem HaTomer Ma'aseh Tohuim, in my eye, you might think that all these things are ridiculous. Right, Tamal Omer, therefore, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, end quote, Ani Hashem Chikaktiv, V'in L'chav Rishu Zalareb Bahem, I made them as chukim, and you have no permission to question them. Amos and Tamei Begadim, again, the Mishnah had ended off. When does the guy become Tamei? When does his clothing become Tamei? Tanur Rabbanan, with another Raisa, HaMashalech, Metamei Begadim, Veino Shalech, is a Mashalech, Metamei Begadim. Right? Only the guy taking out the goat is becomes Tamei, and not the people taking out the guy who's taking out the goat. Right? Meaning the people who accompany him from Sukkah to Sukkah, they don't become Tamei, but the guy taking the goat for the long walk and pushing it off a cliff, he does. Right? His Begadim do become Tamei. You might have thought it becomes Tamei even after it goes out the wall, out of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash of the Azara. Tamalomer Hamishaleach. Right, so therefore, the Pasuk teaches me, no, the Hamishaleach, the one who goes out. I Hamishaleach, if it just said that, Yachol Ad Sheyegi Letzok, you might have thought that it only becomes Tamei when he gets to the cliff. Tamalomer V'Hamishaleach, right? Even the Mishaleach. So right, it makes it a little bit earlier. So, okay, so that's also, Sheyatza, Mishayatza, Chutz Lechomaz Yushalayim, Dibri Rabbi Huda. Right, he becomes Tamei after he leaves the walls of Yushalayim, that's Rabbi Huda Shita. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Azazel V'Chibes. Right, so the Pasuk says, right, it takes it to Azazel, v'chibes v'gadal v'teher. So you have those juxtaposition, the contrast between Azazel and making your clothes tahor. So Ashe Gil Tzok, apparently when he comes to the cliff, that's called Azazel, so then that's when his the clothing become tame. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Havam Mishalech, Azazel, Azazel, yichabes v'gadal, zarko v'vas Rosh umetame begadim. Right? He says that Rabbi Shimon, right, uses that pasuk to teach me that no, when you throw the goat, right, bevas rosh, right, you throw it head first over the cliff, so that's when the begadim become tame. Okay, shkol yakodo rabosei. We'll go weiter in the end of Shas tomorrow. Erev Shabbos. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.